You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You know you screw up all the wakey sense of timing when you do that, right?
I'm sure.
Everyone's like, God, I'm an hour late for wherever I need to be.
Yeah, I was cranking it up, kind of checking my levels. Oh, it sounds pretty good, yeah.
Nothing wrong. Better than Ed's levels.
Wrong song.
790-2040 is the phone number you're on. Wake Up Tucson. After our discussion with Congressman Schweikert, big announcement coming up in the District 3 Pima County race. Two things I want to get out. One, we're having our happy hour. It's on President's Day Monday, and it's a meet and greet with Supervisor candidate Bill Beard. El Charro, Oral Valley, 5:30 to 7:30. Come on by, network, have a few laughs, meet Bill. Do it up, and let Adriana know you're coming at WUTEvents@gmail.com. This hour of Wake Up brought to you by CabcoAZ.com, Central Arizona Block. Let's go to the phones. Congressman David Schweikert, who ripped up a speech, I think I heard, over somebody else at the State of the Union. David, what's... did you pre-rip your speech? This is the big controversy now. Nance pre-ripped.
Yeah, well, you sort of wondered, it's, you know, they might have used like super paper, so you had to sort of start to test. And one of the most interesting things that happened is, and I got to give him credit, Kevin McCarthy went on the floor last night and said, hey, there's a problem with her ripping this up. You know that didn't belong to her. That is for the archives of the U.S. House. That's the official copy that's handed to the Speaker of the House. She just ripped up, and it was, you should have seen some of the Senny Hoyer just going into absolute panic, you know, and they spent a half an hour having the parliamentarian saying, can you tell, and the parliamentarian's job is to hand the language, and they read it back. It is the property of the House. Well, could we get another copy? It's the property of the House. So I know that's just annoying and technical, but it shows you how petulant, and I think it was good for the public to see. You know, we talk about this every week. Everything's a weapon here. Everything is just a childish, vicious weapon. Now you got to see it.
It was, you know, you've been through lots of these now, and you're kind of, watching it on TV. You're like, there's this sense for the Democrats of which one is going to stand up and clap for what? What should they sit on? Which one they should look more dour on? I thought the optics that they looked the worst on was the young lady and the single mom who's getting the empowerment scholarship to go to a charter school.
Oh yeah, and they're not allowed because they're scared to death of the teachers union.
Yeah.
So they had to look like they were really angry about that, even though they send their own kids to schools like that.
Of course
they do.
But remember, the teachers union is just beats the crap out of them if any of them move a tick away.
But think about this, right?
Their ideological conflict.
That's one of the constituencies they say they're in existence to protect and take care of, right? The African American.
No.
Constituencies
there to exploit.
Well, no, you're talking reality. I'm just saying what's on the brochure, right, is that's their constituents that they've told the world that we take care of is the young African-American girl and her single mom, and we can't clap for her to get go to a good school.
But I need you to go a little further with me.
Yes, sir.
Think about how incredibly dark. I know we're making fun of it, levity, but let's take a step back to the level of seriousness. How dark and, you know, almost rage-based Democrats the left has become here in D.C. and now across the country. So could you imagine just a couple years ago if when the president introduced Michelle Obama, if the Republicans had sat in their hands and not applauded?
Right.
Just stared up, glared with anger. But when the president introduces his wife, they sat there and glared with anger. It just and yet the press, you know, we live by completely different standards. of reporting.
Well, there's all these different moments where I don't know if the president's team did all of this on purpose in relation to they wanted to celebrate this stuff, but also things that just put them in that corner, right? It's the Tuskegee Airmen general guy. That's a great story, and his grandson
it's from Arizona.
What part of Arizona was he from, Dave? I forgot.
I think actually the young man is from our congressional district.
That's what I think. I thought he said Scottsdale area. So, then the young lady, and then of course the worst thing for all the Democrats is we're going to drop a Presidential Medal of Freedom right there on Rush Limbaugh, like their personal media demon.
Well, but take a step sideways and just let's be intellectually consistent. So. When a previous president gave one to Paul Harvey, Ellen DeGeneres, how much angst was there? So it just, once again, it's back to our theory. The Democrats have become a rage-based political movement. Mm-hmm. That's almost what they have. And even if it's, equivalent to things that they applauded for last week, today they must bathe in rage over it. So.
What was your favorite part of the speech?
Oh, actually, I really liked the fact that we had a speech that talked about how far we've come.
Yep.
It's economically, all the models said we should be just suffering like crazy right now because we've gotten, our baby boomers are moving into retirement. We're losing that productivity, all these things. And with some of the regulatory reforms, the tax reforms, trade now turning, we're having sort of a miracle of employment and wage growth and these things. And it was neat having a State of the Union that actually said, look, it's working. Why can't we have a moment of joy for American workers because it's working? And you could just see the hate on one side of the room.
Well, David, can I ask you to just do one more segment? That's okay. Tell me.
I'm about to go walk into a series of meetings. So
that's not a problem.
So it's one of those days.
That's okay. Do your meeting. Thanks for the call as always, sir, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Hey, wish you the best.
You too, buddy. Sir. All right, Congressman David Schweikert, the guy's got to go to work. When we come back, we have an exciting. We're going to play the interview with Donald Trump that Joe and I did 8 years ago.
Wow!
And I want you to think about that. Right, what's happened in the last week or so between Trump and Romney, and then I want you to listen to this. And then we have a very exciting announcement in relation to District 3 Pima County Supervisor race this hour. So. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice, Natalie Cole's birthday.
Yeah, Nat's big girl.
7:20 in the morning. We got to go right to it. 8 years ago, actually, Rick Sturtz was filling in for Joe that day. It was probably a no-Joe Jazz Thursday, too. Donald Trump came on the Wake Up Tucson show to stump for a guy running for president. So let's go to it right now. Donald J. Trump, Christy Simone, Rick Sturtz, 8 years ago. Think about what just went on this week. Go. Donald, good morning. Welcome to the Wake Up Tucson show.
Good morning. My honor.
Hey, Rick is a little depressed about Cheryl Teagues getting fired.
I know a lot of people. Cheryl was having a hard time.
Apprentice.
Cheryl had a definitely hard time. She was. She's up against some pretty tough hombres. And as you know, she sort of gave up. That didn't give up. She just said, I don't know. I just don't want to compete. It's sort of like some of our presidential candidates, right?
I would agree with that.
She just didn't want to compete. Terrible analogy, but let's use it anyway.
I miss Gary Busey. That's all I know.
He was great. With Meatloaf, one of the all-time great scenes. That was one of the best in the history of reality television, the scene with Meatloaf, right?
It's very appropriate you're calling about Governor Romney running for the presidency of the United States because my co-host and I have talked about how when it looked like he was really becoming the front runner, and he still is kind of the front runner, don't get me wrong, there's always this ebb and flow. It seemed like the Obama administration had to get to a point, especially hammering on the Bain Capital thing, that the only thing we can do to this guy is demonize the entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's right. And hopefully they haven't succeeded in that. I will say, I've gotten to know him really well, and Mitt Romney's a great guy. He's going to do, I think, tremendously as a candidate, and he's going to do, really importantly, I think he's going to do really well against Obama and win, And I also believe he's going to be a great president, and that's why I decided to go this route.
Well, it feels like we need an adult running the economy.
Well, it would be nice. It would be nice. I agree with you 100%. It would be nice. And, you know, he's got a great record. And for a little while, he was tentative about wanting to speak because he didn't like to brag. You know, maybe he's the opposite of me. He doesn't
right.
want to talk about it.
Sure.
And he was, and that's a nice trait. That's not a bad trait. But he did a fantastic job. He'd take companies that were dying and make them into great companies. And that means jobs, and that means all sorts of education for the people that work there and health care and everything. So, I mean, he did a fantastic job. And I think now he really is willing to speak about it openly. And, what he did is a fantastic thing. And you're right, they tried to demonize him, and I don't think it worked.
Well, I don't think that demonizing success is a wise trait to do in a country like the United States.
Well, it's, I will say they're trying, and they continue to try, and not only with him, with success generally, and there's a lot of class warfare stuff. Every time you see a speech on the other side, you see the class warfare all over the place. But I think in the end it's going to be very interesting because lots of things are happening, and, you know, Obama has no power, no control, no respect from OPEC. And what they're doing to us now with the oil, and you get it, you see it big league out in Arizona because that's a big driving. You don't have lots of subways out there.
You are and correct.
You're going to see it big league out there. And, you know, when oil hits $5 and then $6 a gallon, or maybe even more than that because nobody in the White House knows what they're doing, and OPEC is just riding herd over us, I have a feeling that the Republican, and I think that's going to be Mitt Romney, is going to win the election.
Is this oil thing going to be a mixed blessing? Or we're going to get hammer this summer?
Bad. Yeah, it's going to be a mixed blessing because it's going to be very, very bad for the economy. But I think it's going to be very good for the Republican candidate.
You know, I used to be in the car wash and gas business, and every time the gas prices went up like they did in 2007 and 2008, what happened was that people stopped buying other things. And it's just
right.
When you start buying gas at a buck more a gallon, everything else goes away. And gas is a necessity. It's a driver of the economy.
Right. Oil is the biggest driver, and people don't even realize it. And I'm the only one that I think has said it. But when we had our catastrophe like 4 years ago, you know, when we had the, let's call it the depression, or I don't know if you even call it a mini depression. In some places it was a full-blown depression.
You are correct.
But when we had our depression four years ago, I really believe it was fuel. You know, fuel went to $150 a barrel. And I really believe that had a bigger impact than the banks. You know, they demonized the banks, and the banks did lots of bad things and lots of mistakes and everything else. And the biggest beneficiary of all of those bad moves in a bad way happened to be Arizona. You know, if you look at Arizona and you look at Florida, different places. But the banks were bad. But I really believe that oil, when it hit $150, I really believe, you know, that's the blood. That's the blood of the nation. And I really believe that had an even bigger impact. And it's happening again slowly. You know, they're greedy. They're greedy people. And, you know, their streets are lined with gold. They live, you know, they buy 747 airplanes. They buy a 747 as a private, okay?
Right.
It's like, you know, serious stuff. And it's all because we allow it to happen. They wouldn't be there except for us. And we have nobody to call them up. One thing I'd do, if I were Obama, I'd be on that phone right now and say, you're not going to do this to us a second time. And it's not the speculators. The speculators wish they had that kind of power. It's OPEC sitting around a table and fixing the price of oil.
When we talk about the amount of cash that's sitting on the sidelines right now and the companies that have moved offshore because the United States economy, this country is not the greatest environment to do business anymore. When you look at he wants to drop the corporate tax rate, close the loopholes, but then you still have the specter of Obamacare. What's the magic wand thing? If you get a Romney in there as president, what are the first four things that need to happen to make this environment the best for existing businesses and new entrepreneurs?
Right. Well, first of all, people don't have confidence in the country right now. I have a lot of friends. They're big investors. They have no heart. I don't even call them friends, but they have no heart, but they're geniuses. And they want to go to Brazil, and they want to go to China, and they want to go to India, and they want to go to other countries. I said, what about the United States? They don't even know what I'm talking about, okay?
Right.
They have no confidence in the United States, and they have no confidence in the leadership. And if Romney gets in, I will tell you, that will change quickly. Number one, you'll start taking oil from our very precious ground, and carefully taking it, but you'll start taking energy out of ours. You know, it's turned out, over the last 4 or 5 years, we never thought we had it. We have so much energy we won't know what to do with it. But we're not allowed to get it because of the environmental restrictions and lots of other things.
Look at Keystone, the Keystone pipeline.
The Keystone is ridiculous, absolutely. We don't even need Keystone, though, to be honest. We have so much of our own. We don't need it from Canada either. I think it's great to have it. It's good. Do it. It's jobs. It's good. But you know what? We have so much under our ground, we don't even need it. But when Obama rejected that, I said, what is he doing politically? Because even for himself, everybody, the unions wanted it, everybody wanted it, and I guess a few environmentalists got to him and he rejected it. But Mitt Romney would start off with China and get them to stop with the manipulation, and if they continue, he would do a number on them because he gets it.
Explain to the folks about the manipulation of the currency real quick.
Well, they've lowered their currency to a point that it's very, very hard for American companies to compete with Chinese products. So it's very hard to manufacture goods in this country because of the fact that the Chinese goods can come in so inexpensively. And what they've done by doing that is they've taken our jobs, they make our goods, and they manipulated their currencies. And what they've done is by manipulating, they have built up a war chest that's unbelievable. And the incredible thing is, through manipulation, they take our money and then they loan it back to us and we pay them interest. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Just stop for 2 seconds. How much time we got on this thing?
We got another 5 minutes left.
All right, well, let's come back after, because there's actually his end of this will actually lead into our news of District 3, believe
really?
It or not. We're going to make that judo flip. So our CBS Bloomberg coming up, and then we'll do the last closing minutes of this discussion with Donald Trump. And think about what he said there, right? Some of these things that mm-hmm. he thinks needs to get done is stuff that he did when he actually became president.
They're his ideas, yeah. It's interesting, it is.
You
the
know
China
mean?
Thing.
So you're already hearing the preview.
This was
of what
in 2012. This was February 13th, 2012.
Correct. So
wake up, Tucson.
All right. Let's go to CBS Bloomberg. We'll be cut right back. We'll play the closing minutes of this, and then we're going to transition. There's something in this interview that takes us to our big supervisor 3 district announcement. Gordon Sumner and the boys.
There's long this girl's in she's so close now. This girl is half his age.
All right, real quick, so we're going to finish the last couple minutes of our interview with Donald Trump from 8 years ago. Carlos, listening now, this is wild. Thank mm-hmm. you. And then Martin, you need to play this interview more often. It really details his presidential policies. So right. You've already talking about being manipulated by the Chinese.
Right.
Right. Letting the American energy sector do their thing. Right. And, you know, just again, back to taking America was not a friendly place to invest your dollar in the Barack Obama days.
Bad for business.
So let's now continue on. You got to pay attention at the end because we're with the Don. We bring it back to Pima County politics. You know how like when Van Buren comes on and I'll make a Huckleberry joke, why does it always go back to this? It always goes back to politics. Well, we're going to do it with the Donald. So let's go. Christy Simone. Rick Sturtz is filling in for Joe, so we must have been playing some jazz that day. And then Donald J. Trump. Let's do it.
Start drilling and you start getting your own supplies. You wouldn't need to deal with OPEC so much. They maybe will start coming to you. Because there really is. There's an abundance of product. There's an abundance of oil and natural gas and other things that we have. I mean, they call us the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, and we don't take it.
Well,
there's so many things. The potential of this country is so enormous. It's so enormous if it could only be unleashed. But it's not being unleashed.
When you look at the reduction in the price of natural gas today, as it was against 4 years ago, it shows that once you open up the taps, the price is going to go down.
Absolutely, it's going to go down, and there's so much of it. You know, it shouldn't be a precious commodity because we have hundreds and hundreds of years of natural gas, and we don't even use it. We don't take it, and there's so many things that could be done. And you know, again, we're sort of like the sleeping tiger, but unfortunately, we're still sleeping.
Now, Mr. Trump, you're still bullish on certain aspects of the United States. I know that congratulations, by the way, on getting the old post office building in Washington,
yeah,
D.C.
That's great.
That's going to be a very successful project again, I'm sure.
Great location.
So you're still a little bullish on America. What other parts? You tried to do some development in Phoenix in Arizona several years ago. What was the pushback that kept you from being able to be successful in Phoenix?
Well, I got lucky. They didn't let me do it, and then the market crashed. Okay? So somebody would say, oh, you were brilliant. You predicted the market in Arizona. I said, no, I didn't predict it. They wouldn't let me. The local community and the environmental groups didn't want me to build a building that would be, I guess it wasn't even tall, it was like 18 stories or something. It would have been really beautiful. I was going to do shopping and lots of other things. And basically, because of the fact, the people that did ultimately do it, they just got clobbered. But because of the fact I didn't get it, the market crashed almost immediately thereafter. And I went, wow, that was a close one, because you know what? I'm good. But when the market crashes, it doesn't help. It doesn't matter if you're good or not.
So this is one time.
I got very lucky. But don't tell people I got lucky. Just say to people that I'm a great sage, that I predicted this failure. But I got out of that one unscathed. I was very lucky.
Hey, Donald, I got one more question for you. I want you to do one more push for Mitt, and then I got a favor to ask you at the end, okay?
Sure.
Tourism, because you're a guy who does hotels and this type of thing. We are a very tourism-driven town here in Tucson.
Great golf courses.
Absolutely. Just don't get in the cactus like Tiger did yesterday.
Right. Right. You have a big one going on right now. That's true.
What's your outlook on tourism the next year or so?
Well, I think it's good. You know, the beauty is that people want to be in this country. They love this country. They want to be here. Places like Tucson are incredible. I go there. I love the golf in Tucson. I love the weather, and I love the golf. And it's just great. You know, I'm trying to buy Doral right now. I'm I guess the finalist for Doral in Miami, and that'll be terrific. So you know, people. So obviously, I feel, because you'll have your ups and you'll have your downs, but
yep,
ultimately, people want to be in this country, and they want to be in places like Tucson, because what's going to beat it? There's nothing like it.
All right, I'm going to ask you the favor first.
Go ahead.
We're in the middle of a big election coming up for the Pima County Board of Supervisors here in Tucson. Not very pro business.
Right.
And we have this one key race, and I need you to say a person's name and you're fired. Would you be willing to do something for me?
Okay. Is the person a Democrat
yes.
or a Republican?
Yes, Democrat.
Okay. What's the person's name?
Sharon Bronson.
Okay. Are you ready? Is she going to win or is she going to lose?
She's going to lose. We're going to make sure she loses.
All right. Sharon, you haven't done a good job. We're not satisfied with the work you're doing. You're fired.
There we go. Thank you very much. Let's finish off with a Mitt push.
Well, I just think he's a terrific guy, and he's a nice guy, too. But he's a terrific guy, and I think he'll be a great candidate, and I think he'll be a great president.
Awesome. Hey, Donald, thank you for coming on. I don't know if we'll ever get you on again, because I could talk about this stuff with you all day long.
Well, it's very interesting, and you have a great show. Take care. I'll see you in Tucson.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Donald.
All right, there
you go.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
So, again, that
Donald, we should have him back.
That preview of what he did as a president.
Yeah. Couple of the major points, yeah.
And
see where his mind is, and always has been.
So at the end, I asked him to do the favor of saying, Sharon Bronson, you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
So due to some family stuff, I guess Joe Bogart, and we love Joe Bogart, the bond killer, Joe Bogart, he had to drop out of the District 3 race.
Hmm.
And
I didn't know that.
So right now there's...
Has that been announced?
Kind of.
Oh,
he didn't go out but he has sent out. That out to people who have, you know, sent him a check or something like that in the early days that he's not going to be running right now, or he's putting it on hiatus. But I don't know what that's going to mean.
So who's running against Sharon?
So right now, the only, I think, viable candidate that I've seen is Juan Padres, who's a Democrat.
Okay. I have to look him up.
And Juan used to be used to work for the city of Tucson in the city manager's office. He was like their economic development guy for Mexico for about 6 years.
Okay.
And so as a Democrat, I think he has a good shot against her, and he's a good young guy, and we'll see how all that goes.
Hmm.
But
they need you need somebody to run?
Ed and I have been talking here, and you know, he is the mayor of Pliskin Acres. And Pliskin Acres is
proudly. I'm doing the best I can.
Is in the heart of Sharon's district. Is Pliskin Acres. Ed's beautiful burg of Pliskin Acres has mm-hmm. been you know, you've had some of the worst representation ever, right? Think about this.
Yeah,
you've had,
well, Sharon for
you've had Bronson since 96.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, then we had
Karen.
Karen was a city council person for a long time.
Yep.
Long, long time, until she moved out of the district, out of the ward.
Right.
And still, you know, because she couldn't take it. I guess she moved back, but that was afterwards. But you know, she left. I mean, she stinking left the place to find a place in town that she could actually live in and wake up in the morning. And then she's gone, and now we got this Durham guy, Bull Durham, we call him, because he's such a bull. He's such a strong man.
Or he's full of bull.
That's probably what it is.
So
forget that.
So... There's no
leadership here. There's no leadership.
So Ed and I were talking, and real quick, you know, Juan Padre is on his Facebook page. Like, what happened in 96, right, when she first got into office?
Yeah.
I just want to remind people.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Before we get to
this
announcement real quick, okay? What do we got here? We have, let's see, Kofi Annan appointed head of the UN. We have, let's see, we got to do better than this. Let's go pop culture. That's what we want to do. That's perfect. Okay. Popular musicians at the time were the Spice Girls, number one with Wannabe.
Wow.
Oasis, Tupac Shakur, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Lenny Kravitz. Popular films were Independence Day, Twister, 101 Dalmatians, The Birdcage, and The English Patient.
Wow. I remember those. Yeah.
Bill Clinton defeated both Bob Dole and Ross Perot in 1996. What else do we got here today? We have...
Seems like 86, but it's only 96. Wow.
Let's see who was born in 1996. I feel like that'll be totally hilarious. Let's see. Born in 1996... gotta go to the end here. Sorry. Who else? Major world leaders. Jacques Chirac was the leader of France in those days. Helmut Kohl in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got here? Oh, here we go. This is when DVDs were first launched, was the year Sharon Bronson got in the office.
What?
Now that DVDs are almost getting as popular because of streaming.
They've worn themselves out.
So DVDs have worn themselves out, but Sharon has not.
It still has the same seat. Need to get her a new chair.
So here's another one. This just tells you how long Bronson's been around. You know how Google, you have, you know, like a search engine site? You remember Ask Jeeves with the little English,
Butler
guy?
Yes, that was like the first one.
That was the first year that Ask Jeeves first went live, the year Sharon Bronson became a supervisor.
Wow.
And for you Microsoft Windows nerds.
Yeah, number was it? Windows 2.
NT 4.0.
Oh my gosh.
And then Internet Explorer 3 web browser was released. The first version of the Java programming language was released.
Oh my gosh. Wow. The first version of Java. That's crazy. This is ancient history with ancient people.
You are correct. Ancient
people. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
So, Ed and I have been talking a lot about this.
Yeah,
and now we
it's
do
hard
have
to believe. It
we
really
do,
is.
We do have to pick our potholes next week. We got to go to Rocco's and we do our potholes.
Okay.
Soccer screwed me up this week, so we're going to do it next week.
Okay.
The potties of the year.
Potty awards will be coming next week.
Actually, no, we'll do. We could announce it, and maybe hopefully the winner can meet us at the happy hour, and we'll do it live.
That would be excellent.
So maybe we'll do a potty presentation at the Bill Beard meet and greet happy hour on the 17th.
Perfect.
Okay?
Yeah, good. See, your mind is always working.
I don't know why, but
my mind is like mush, as you notice by playing the wrong song.
We're going to need some help. We're forming an exploratory committee.
Yes.
Ed Alexander for District 3 Supervisor.
Let's do this.
All right. You know, we talked about mayor.
Who else is there? There's Juan, what's his name?
Juan Padres.
Juan Padres.
Like the San Diego Padres, so you'll remember that easily.
Maybe. And then there's Sharon Bronson. Is she running again, right?
Of course.
She's running again because she has nothing else to do.
Of course not. What is
you know. And so I went to her website on the Pima, you know, the Pima.gov, and it doesn't say anything that she did in the since 96.
So it is funny.
There's nothing in her – there's nothing. Nothing there.
She used to put in she was first elected in 96, and then since we've been making fun of her, she removed it.
Yeah. It doesn't say that
anywhere.
Want,
no.
No. She is, though, a chairman circle of the Sun Corridor. That's
Joe Snell, because no one – she's not on there because anyone wants her expertise.
No.
It's because Chuck gives them $600,000.
Yeah, and so here, go sit with these guys.
Right.
Go sit, there, and they've got your ear. And
the same
you
thing
do
also with
you.
Visit Tucson, because they bleed the bed tax money through to there. They have so there's $4 million there to
that's
visit
the
Tucson.
Any other committees or anything that has
that's
to
why,
do with
that's
you,
why I always
me,
find
or
it disturbing
else.
That Visit Tucson gave $15,000 to Yes on 463 when that was tax money. But that's a whole other story. Now,
so, yeah.
Now, go back to her biography thing that you had up there before.
Okay.
Okay. Read the second paragraph. This is the part that's really amazing.
So here's what she's done, I guess. Since her election.
In one paragraph. She's been there since 96.
Okay.
24 years. She does it all in one paragraph.
These are the specific points. Since her election to the board, Bronson has advocated for economic development policies, growing high-wage jobs while reducing income disparities. No. She's been advocating for him. Doesn't say she did anything about
correct,
it. Okay?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Comma.
You've been hanging around with me long enough.
Comma. For smart growth policies improving regional livability. Comma. And for positive reform to our criminal justice system, ensuring equal treatment under the law for all.
What?
Wow.
Read the next sentence.
These strategies will make Southern Arizona globally competitive in our emerging 21st century global economy.
So right now...
She's done a lot, hasn't she?
We want to see if this has enough legs. Ed loves this town. He is the mayor of Pliskin Acres. So we're going to do a...
Exploratory committee.
Kind of committee here. Ed Alexander... For Supervisor District 3.
I know it's tough. You know, I mean, you got this beautiful guy who's a mayor who wants to be president of and leader of the free world. So that's a jump, okay? To go from disc jockey radio guy
right.
to Pima County Supervisor is a jump. I know that. I know that. But, you know, I mean, I can do this.
Perhaps.
I can sit in this chair.
You can advocate.
And go, wait a minute. And then Richard Elias goes, shut up. And then we go, wait a minute. And I mean, come on. There's 3-2 right now. And nothing's getting done except, you know, we don't want a wall and we don't want this. And they do nothing about what the important stuff.
So a friend of mine just sent me to the votepadres.com. He actually has a page called 1996.
Yeah.
We're going to go over some of the numbers on that. So anyway, we need your help. The vote, Ed Alexander for Supervisor Exploratory Committee. We're not doing anything too crazy. We want to see if there's some legs to this whole thing. So, wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. From the mailbag, listener Roberto says... he heard my line in the Trump thing when he says, is this woman going to lose? I said, Sharon's going to lose, right? And he says, LOL. I said, a lot more naive optimism in those
days. You know? We now know who the machine is and who works for the machine and who runs the machine. So.
And another listener, are you suggesting Sharon Bronson is a DVD read-only disc?
Found her at a yard sale. Thank you. Can I say?
All right, sneak Anna on before I get to 1996.
Go ahead, Anna.
Anna, the prodigal daughter. What's going on?
My gosh, I as a graphic designer, I so appreciate your humor on that read-only DVD. And hey, you know what an awesome investment to have the mayor at Pliskin Acres, a true person of this community in so many ways. You know, stepping up as a leader, and I am all on it. So I was sad to see Joe Bogart step out of the race. I was definitely rooting for him, and I would love to do what I can. And if it's on this committee, whatever you guys need, you know, I knock the doors and I'm ready to go.
And well, I'm going to need your help and your expertise.
That's right.
So. You know, I got a mouth, but I need to get my brain in gear with that.
Look at that.
And Anna lives in Pliskin Acres.
She does.
She's been fighting for us for a long time. Now you're up at in the Capitol working with some folks and trying to let them know what's up. The real people. Well, Anna, thank you.
So much to attend to. So, and, you know, people don't understand sometimes how the behind the scenes works. And so I want them to know how crucial a county supervisor is to the state legislature when it's properly functioning, which I can't say that it is right now.
We haven't seen that for
Sharon
a long
and our
time.
Legislature. Yeah. But if we had Ed Alexander as our supervisor, then we would be having those proper interactions and relationships with our state legislature and not being ignored, which is so key. Wink, wink.
Sir. Ma'am, thank you. It's a lot. It's a lot to chew. It's a lot to, you know, bite off. But I mean, geez.
There's a lot. There's a lot to. There's a lot.
I think I can do as good a job. Okay?
Absolutely.
And take us into the next decade here.
Happy to be of service.
All right, Anna. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
So
a friend of mine said I got to go to the votepadres.com for Juan Padres. He has a 1996 page. So here we go. The average new house in this is the cost of living in 96 was $118,000. A new car was $16,000. Minimum wage when Sharon first got in was $4.75. A movie ticket was $4.40, average price of a movie ticket. Average rent was $554 a month. Gas was at $1.22, so not too much cheaper. Stamps were 32 cents in those days. The Macarena became a full-force dance craze.
That was it. That was it. That's what got her all excited, I know.
Dow Jones was at 6,000 points. Braveheart won the Academy Award. The top song in the U.S. was Don't Speak by No Doubt.
Yeah.
Most top popular TV shows were ER, Seinfeld, and freaking Suddenly Susan with Brooke Shields.
What? Wow.
It's the first year MSNBC and Fox News were launched. Popular email service was Hotmail.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Motorola releases the first truly portable cell phone, the StarTAC, the year Sherrod Brownson got in office. Tupac was assassinated in Vegas, and Mother Teresa given honorary U.S. citizenship.
It's been a long, long time, and there's nothing on her website that she said she's done anything in all those years.
Good stuff.
Nothing.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. Local news and talk, your voice, your vote.